What's up, team?
Nick Hayden, Capacity Performance Therapy, back for another discussion-based podcast. Hope everybody's doing well. I hope these podcasts are informational. My goal is, again, especially with these discussion-based ones, 10 minutes or less, you leave with a nugget or two, maybe creates a different framework about how you think about things or gives you a little thing you can maybe add with your training or with your clients. So the topic of our discussion today is related to program design, but the principle of sweat does not equal success, particularly with workouts. This is a trap I know that I fall into. It's a trap I've seen with clients, friends, etc., where the idea with a workout is if you're not finishing the workout dead on the ground, sweating buckets, and shot for the rest of the day, then that's not a good workout. And don't get me wrong, there's a time and place for this. High intensity interval training, I think, is huge. The calories you burn is unmatched to anything. Usually you're doing functional movement patterns that are gonna carry over to life in the real world. And eventually you have to train speed and power if you want to get better at speed and power. So we can't just do breathing drills and balance drills and think it's gonna carry over to the sports or whatever the hobby is. So, point there is getting your butt kicked and working out is the ideal goal, but it shouldn't be our framework for basing what is a successful workout and what is successful program design. By no means am I the world's best program designer. Do I know how to create a 4, 6, 8 week block that's better than any other trainer in the area? I would say no. I would actually say I'm more of a novice in that. But I think I have some good understanding of what are some foundations to building a program, and probably even more importantly, what are things we want to try to limit or avoid. So I think of late, we've seen a lot more gyms open up that are HIIT-based. They'll actually have the name HIIT in it, high intensity interval training, or you'll go to a boot camp class or, I don't know, a burner class or whatever kind of buzzword fancy name there is. And I'm not going to name certain gyms or anything, but there's several gyms in town where you're doing similar workouts. You're doing treadmill running, rowing, maybe box jumps, circuits of 12 to 15 exercises that you're doing 3 or 4 rounds with minimal rest in between. And all that's great because you're going to be constantly moving. Your heart rate's going to be in a great zone for burning calories and promoting accommodation. And you're going to feel like you got a good workout. Again, all fine and dandy, but it cannot be the essence of your program. Meaning by that, it cannot be what your whole wellness exercise program is based upon. I saw a client last week, had kind of acute low back flare up, started doing more high intensity interval training 6 weeks prior to the flare up. When she had the flare up, there was no clear mechanism of injury. She basically finished her workout. Later that day, she just struggled to stand up and eventually kind of got locked up. That's a prime example of where that principle of I gotta sweat, I gotta feel like I'm gonna die to do a workout is gonna catch up to you. So, in the ideal scenario, we have those workouts, but there's maybe 2, max 3 in a week. So you might call those time-based workouts where you're doing whatever, as many rounds as you can within 12 minutes. They might be as many rounds as you can kind of thing. So like, can you do, 12 rounds as fast as you can or whatnot. But usually they're gonna be more time-based or have some sort of objective interval measure, and you're gonna try to do it as fast as you can. That should only be happening 2 or 3 times a week because we gotta be allowing for recovery. So recovery is on many levels, but if you're taxing that system, which is gonna be more your anaerobic, glycolytic, phosphagen systems that are based on high energy outputs within a short period of time, you have to promote recovery. Even whatever, a baseball player or a professional bodybuilder whatever sport we want to think of, they allow for recovery. A pitcher doesn't pitch for 7 days. A guy doing bench press doesn't do it 7 days a week. There is rest and recovery, and I feel like we miss that with the HIIT training. So you finish the workout, you do great, but your body can't accommodate. So you actually don't end up losing body weight to fetch your goal. You end up burning out and something gets injured and you blame it on whatever, you squatted and your knee started hurting, but really it was the 6 weeks prior before of high interval training without recovery that eventually made that squat hurt your knee. So it's often not when the mechanism started, but the prior load, right? So we have to allow recovery. We have to find the optimal load where you can still maybe get in the HIIT training, but you're not overstimulating or overloading the system. And then we have to make sure we're doing all the other things really well too, to be doing regular HIIT training without issues. Sleep. Are you getting your 7+ hours of sleep? Diet, are you trying to eat somewhat healthy foods that don't come in a box, that have limited sugar, gluten, and dairy? And then the other big thing is stress, right? So you could sleep well, eat well, but if you are working 85 hours a week and have 20 million stressors at home, adding more stress to your system with multiple high intensity workouts a week is eventually gonna catch up to you. So again, I don't want you leaving this discussion thinking that interval training is bad. Like I said, it's probably arguably one of the best workouts you can get, but we have to be smart with the way we program it. So maybe you're doing 2 or 3 of them in a week. I don't know where you're going or how you're doing it. If you're doing it independently, maybe that's a Monday, Wednesday, Friday scheme, a Tuesday, Thursday scheme. And then the other days that you want to get workouts in, maybe you make them more strength-based, right? So you have maybe more of a lower body push, upper body pull with some 4x5 squats and some 6x6 pull-ups. Maybe the other heavy strength day is more deadlifts and cleans and floor press and push-ups where you're doing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 sets, which I know can be cumbersome, but you're really stimulating the system with a whole lot of load, which is going to create recovery, but you're not tapping into those anaerobic systems as much. So it's a different energy source, thus not influencing your recovery from the HIIT training the day before. And then we have to also just step away and get a good old day of cardio, if not two. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to go on a run or a bike ride, but you could do some rowing. Maybe it's a 45-minute to 2-hour walk. Whatever ways, maybe it's just carries, whatever ways where you maybe have less intensity than the HIIT training, less load than the true power lifting strength phases, and more of just lower intensity, longer duration stimulus. So again, you're getting 2 or 3 HIIT days in a week, you're getting 2 or 3 strength days in a week, you're getting 1 or 2 cardio-based workouts in a week. I know that can sometimes be hard to swallow, to finish a workout, not be dying in sweat, finish a workout feeling like you can maybe work out again, which might feel like you fail, but actually that's encouraging because that's gonna make the next day's workout that much better. And the other really difficult thing is the way our current fitness and health industry is things are marketed towards the HIIT, right? So you'll see ads, you'll see campaigns, you'll see your local gyms all doing these things where it's just easy to kind of fall in the trap of always doing it. So hopefully there's a little thing or two you learned there. If you're in more of the rehab setting, these should be things we're trying to educate our clients on, that your back didn't go out because of that deadlift you did, but it was the 2 months prior of lack of recovery. If you're in the fitness setting and you're trying to improve your overall fitness yourself, think about how you're designing your program. Think about, are you creating a pathway to burnout where either you're not going to get stronger, you're not going to get leaner, or you're going to get injured in some capacity. Tricky, not easy, something to think about. Hopefully that was worthwhile, guys. And again, more fun content to come. Have a good one.